I'm speaking about why Yehuda was chosen for Malchus, for royalty. And this is the parasha, because in this parasha, according to Rashi and many before Shem, Yehuda is told, you are designated for royalty. Royalty will become to you, and according to many before Shem, it will be royalty which will be eternal. And the question we have to ask ourselves, why was Yehuda chosen? And the truth is, that's a question we can ask. And it's not something which is only relevant to royalty. It's a question that's relevant to all of us, because we are all Mamlechas Kohen and Vegai Kadosh. We are all in some way kings, and we're obviously also called Yehudim. And the question is, what did Yehuda do that he was chosen? And the truth is, Yehuda himself was surprised by this. As we know in this week's Parsha, and this would be one of the sources, that source number two, it's a little bit out of order, Bereishis Perek Mantas, Pasuches. So Yaakov Avinu has gathered his whole family around him, Yaakov Avinu, and he starts with Reuven, Shimon, Levi, and we know what's going on. Yaakov Avinu, in a certain sense, rips into Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. And all of a sudden, Yehuda's sitting there listening, or standing there listening, and all of a sudden, he realizes, oh my gosh, if they're getting a Moshe Shmuz, what's going to happen to me? So Yehuda starts to back out, as Rashi says. And Yaakov calls and says, what are you doing? He says, you're different than they are. And all of a sudden, he starts to say, you're a leader. So maybe Yehuda himself was wondering the same thing. What happened? What life-changing moment happened to Yehuda? Just the real, what life-changing moment? So this is the question that Chazal dealt with. And I want to start with source number one, which is Tosefta Meseches Brachos Perek Dal Lachi Yudches. Now really, at the end of Lachi Yud Zayin, this question was asked too. But Halachi Yudches includes whatever Lachi Yud Zayin. End of Lachi Yud Zayin, Rabbi Tarfon was speaking to his students, and he said, can I ask you a question? I want to ask you a question, I want to see what you have to say about this question. And they said, go ahead and ask. And Rabbi Tarfon says to them, he says, why was Yehuda chosen to be the king? And they answered, they responded, the same thing as it says here, B'nei Shehoda B'Tamar, B'Tamar, because once, what, the whole after the whole event with Tamar, Tamar, and you know, and he felt that Tamar had acted in a very inappropriate way, and he wanted to have her killed, and then she sent something to him which made him realize that he himself was the culprit. He said, talk to me, Manny. He admitted that he was wrong. And for that reason, he merited to become the king, Shehoda B'Tamar. So, if you look at the source number one, and I'm actually going to read the first part, and then the rest I'll paraphrase because it's not really relevant to our shir. Maista ba'arva zakenim. There were four zakenim, shohayu yoshim v'vei sharsh of Yeshua. They were sitting in the gate area of Yeshua, and who were they? Elazar ben Masya, v'chananya ben Kinoi, v'shim ben Azoi, v'shim ben Temani. And they were and they were involved in what Rabbi Kiva taught them, was the same question that Rabbi Tarfon had discussed. Why was Yehuda zoche to Malchus? Rabbi Akiva say, Mishum shehode b'tamar, because he admitted he made a mistake with Tamar, and for that reason he was zoche to royalty. So what happened? Hosifu hein me'atzman. So they themselves added the pasuk, Ashir chacham yagidu, from Sefer Iyov. Now, in Sefer Iyov, Iyov, after suffering all those tragedies, was venting. And by venting, he was really saying that the world is not a fair world. And his friends, one of them being Eliphaz, came to speak to him. And Eliphaz, and Eliphaz was saying, there's no free will. Everyone is sort of programmed. And Eliphaz says to him, Ashir chachamim yegidu, when a chachamim mitte made a mistake, lo kachadu, he says, me'avosam lehem levadam lashna aretz. They're not afraid to deny. And their fathers, to them, the land was given. And the Malbim points out that Yehuda was trying to say, we're all programmed. And Eliphaz says, no. And a person should admit when he made a mistake that it was he that made the mistake. It's not a Kadosh Baruch Hu that caused him to act that way. Now, are we talking about one action? In general, and I think Rabbeinu Kreska says this, that when we do something wrong, a lot of times, it's because of our nature. And Bechira Chachas, free will means sometimes we have the ability to change our nature. If someone's born of a temper, he has the ability to overcome his temper. So we have to understand. So therefore they said, yes, because he did this, he admitted he did something wrong, which maybe means he changed his very nature. Because of that, he went ahead and and he was zochet in royalty. And therefore, Amar Lahem, so at that time, Rabbi Kiva said, Rabbi Tarfon says, V'chinos n'schar al averos? Do you get schar for an avera? He didn't have avera of Tamar, and because of that, he went ahead, he was zochet to Malchus, he merited the kingdom, he didn't have avera, he admitted he did something wrong. So then, Tosefta goes in and gives other answers, but the fact is, this was an answer that was given, and we have to try to understand the answer. And we'll come back, we'll see, I would like to suggest, let's see other answers. What are other answers? Why was it Zochet to Malchus? So, it was Zochet to Malchus, number one, because he tried to convince his brothers not to kill Yosef. He said, when they wanted to kill Yosef, he says, Ma betza. He says, what do we gain by killing Yosef? And we'll see, some of the portions say, what does that mean? He wanted to save them. He says, he doesn't deserve royalty because he went ahead and he didn't kill, he saved brothers killing Yosef. He says, the bottom line is he sold Yosef. He was involved in the sale. That itself was wrong. So then they said, why was he zochet to Malchus? Why did he merit Malchus? Because he was very humble, he was very modest. What was he very modest about? That when Yosef wanted to take Binyamin away, and after Yosef took Binyamin away, so he went and he said, no, take me. He used the word Abdecha. He was very modest. And then they point out that Shaul HaMelech also was modest, and he was zochet to royalty. And Tosefta says, He says the reason why he was zochet, he was modest, is because he was responsible for Binyamin. So then it goes on and it says, because his Mekadosh Shem Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He sang by the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the fact is that Yehuda really had all these traits, and Mekadosh Shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu was very important. But the answer that's emphasized in Tosefta of before this and the beginning of this Tosefta is the main answer was because he admitted that he was wrong in regard to Mar. Now, I don't know who his personality was beforehand, okay? But there are different personalities. And there are personalities that never like to admit they did something wrong. And there are personalities that are very easy and quick to say, I made a mistake. So, by the way, I think he's a very good leader. Okay? So, personally for myself, I can tell you personally, I'm very quick to admit that I'm wrong. I do it plenty of times a day. I made a mistake. Okay? And even though I did descend, as most of Klal Yisrael descended, from Bustanoi and come from David HaMelech, I'm not royalty. But because Yehuda went ahead and he admitted he's wrong, he was zochet, he basically was zochet to royalty. He merited royalty. We have to understand what exactly is it that Yehuda did. However, it seems, I would want to suggest, that Yehuda himself thought he made a mistake. And because he changed, he got royalty. He was surprised. So obviously Yehuda must have had a life-changing moment. And I'd like to discover in the Shir, what was Yehuda's life-changing moment? And because of this life-changing moment, he changed. His perspective changed, and he was zochet to royalty. Now, it's interesting, it's fascinating, whatever the life-changing moment was, so in Parshas Miketz, we know that the brothers came back from Mitzrayim, and they came back with the message that Yosef said, you can't come back for food unless what happens? Unless you bring Binyamin. And when they told Yaakov, we have to bring Yamin down, Yaakov said, absolutely not. So what happened? Reuven goes ahead in source number 3, and Reuven says to his father, Eshnein v'nai tomis im lo v'yan alecha. You can go ahead, you can kill both my sons, if I don't bring them to you. Give them to me, and I'll return them to you. So Yaakov says, according to Rashi, I can kill your two sons, they should die. Why would I be interested in that? No, Binyamin's not going. Later on, when they ran out of food, so all of a sudden, Yehuda says, in source number 3, Parshas Miketz, by Yomer Yehuda Yisrael, of Shilcha Nariti, even a Kuva Nelcha, and Nichiv Lonomus, Gamanachnu Gamtapenu. Send the child with us. Anochi Erevenu, Miyadi Tivakshenu. I will basically be the guarantee, you can get it from my hand, and Imlo Aviosir, Elecha, Avitzachnacha, Vachatosel, Chakalayomim. If you don't bring him, I don't bring him to you, I will ascend before you all the days. And he says, if we had gone already, we'd be back. So Yaakov agrees. By Yomer Aleim Yisrael. Now, what did Yehuda mean when he said that I am the sure, I'm the guarantee? He says, I'll sin before you all the days. The Balaturim on that passage, source number 5 says, and this is Rashi also, I will sin before you, the gematria of Olam Hazev, Olam Haba. I didn't do the math, but Rashi says the same thing. So it's true, Reuven said, it would be like my sons died. My sons could die. And Yehuda says, I'll sin before you. Why would that make Yaakov happy? What was going on? What made you change? That all of a sudden Yaakov said, you know what, Yehuda? I trust you. What happened to Yehuda? What was it that he did? And Rabbi Yosef Bechor Shor, one of the Rishonim, source number 4, points out that I'm willing to give up my life. And he says, any method I have, Kol Tzidku, source number 4, the Isli, Lemavad, I'll do anything I can to get Binyamin back. So all of a sudden, Yaakov Avinu was very happy. Okay, so let's try to understand what was the life-changing moment. So the next part of the shiur I saw in the Sefer of Medan, it's called the Kiyar Velecha, and just to understand, this is on Parshas of Vayeshev. So if we look at Parshas of Vayeshev, we know that right in the middle of the whole story of the sale of Yosef, what happened, right in the middle of the whole story of the sale of Yosef, what happened was that, we have this whole story of Yehuda. Yehuda got married. He had 3 children. He married one of them to Tamar, and then the first one died, and the second one died. Then Yehuda wouldn't go ahead, and Yehuda wouldn't marry her off, give her to the third child. We have all these. We have this whole story in the middle of the sale of Yosef, right? So, and as Rashi points out, the Medrash points out in source number 6. Then what's the whole story? What's going on here? What's going on? So teach a certain idea that if you look at the whole story, you think that, you know, that Yosef was sold, Yaakov is very sad, he's an Avelis, Reuven is an Avelis for his Avelis, he did to Yaakov Avinu, Yehuda is involved in taking your wife. We think the world is a very small world, everyone's focused on himself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, before the Jews went down to, before the Jews went to Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was working on the Gula. And that's why it's here. So this, that working on the future Gula, the Gula of the Mashiach ben David. And that's why right along the sale of Yosef, before the Jews go down to Mitzrayim, before the Shvatim go down, the Torah tells us about the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was working on bringing the future Goel. So this story is a very important step into how Yehuda and David and the Mashiach ben David will be Zochet to Malchus. So let's see what happened. In source number 7, Torah tells us, Paraklam Ches Pasagalit, Vayiva Esahi, Vayerid Yehuda Meyes Echov, Yehuda went down from his brothers, Vayedar Ishu Dulumami, Shmochira. So what is Vayiva Esahi? So Rashi in source number 8 points out that the juxtaposition of the parasha is to tell us that right after Yosef was sold, the brothers demoted Yehuda. They said, you told us to sell him. If you had told us to go ahead and to bring Yosef back to our father, you would have. It's your fault our father is like this. And they demoted him. They sort of stayed in a position. So what happened? What happened was, all of a sudden, Yehuda was in a slump. He went on a downhill spiral. And the next word tells him, he left his brothers, and he went on Ishu Adulami to be involved with him. He became a partner with him. And what's the next step? So Pasuk Bet, Vayarsham Yehuda Bas Ish Kanani. Now, most of the Meforshim explain Kanani as a merchant. However, the truth is, if you look at it, Pasha B'Shat, what does the word Kanani really mean? A Kanani. It's a Kanani. And if you look, so first of all, the Ramban in source number 10 quotes Ibn Ezra, and Ibn Ezra says, she was here with a Kanani, like the Pasuk says, not like all the Meforshim, like Rashi, like Ramban. He says, and he went against what his father's wishes were, because, you know, I'm not sure in the time of the Avos, there were very few red lines. One red line was marrying a Kanani. I remember when everyone's had this experience. I remember when my father's yeshiva moved to a new building on Peterson Avenue, and we met an older man there. I don't want to say his name. I don't think he had been Shomer Shabbos his whole life. You remember him, right? Yeah. And all of a sudden, we became his neighbor. He started coming to shul. He took charge of the shul on Shabbos morning. He used to come to shul all the minyanim. He would read. We had a set of art scroll Tanakh. He'd read the art scroll, and I started to talk with him. And, you know, he's one of these conservative Jews who would make sure to go to shul every Shabbos. And he said to me, you know, he says, my kids aren't observant, he says. But thank God, he says to me, all my kids marry Jews. I didn't say this to him, but I was thinking, yeah, well, what will your grandchildren do? That was the thing. I was like, yeah, I was a young guy, young kid. But, so, you know, in the 70s, in the 60s, marrying a non-Jew was a very big red line for almost all Jews. So marrying a Kanani was a red line. So the Ibn Ezra says, Ramban quotes Ibn Ezra, you should know, because the Kanani, right, and that's why his sons died, right? So again, Yehuda was demoted according to Ibn Ezra, and once you're distanced, you go on a downhill spiral. So next thing, he married a Kanani. And if you look at source number 9, the Unklus, Tumchus says the same thing. V'chazot taman Yehuda, v'asgever Kenani, v'shmei Shula, v'nisba v'alosa. So he says, he married the daughter of a Kenani. Now, to be intellectually honest, which I'm going to be, I have to tell you, the Ramban's Giras and Tumchus is that it was actually a Kagra merchant. Okay? So I checked various Nuschos. I'm not a scholar at all. When it comes to Nuschos, certainly not a scholar. But there are two Nuschos. But according to this reading of Unklus, which I had, and some readings, she was a Kanani. So we see what's happening. All of a sudden, Yehuda is going on a downward spiral. Now, I have to tell you, if you go look, that what happened. So then, he married off to one son, as we know. That son died. Then he married off to another son, and the second son died. And then he says, you know what? I don't want to marry off to the third son, because obviously the problem is not with my kid. Who's the problem? What's the problem? But with Tamar, right? And he said, So finally, Tamar, who in her mind, she had this idea, I have to somehow, she wanted to connect to the family Yehuda. It was something very special to her. And therefore, whatever was placed in front of her, she wasn't going to allow it to happen. She was going to make sure she had this goal. She was going to follow through. Tamar did not give up. So she decided, as we know, to dress up like a prostitute. It's very difficult to understand. And what happened? So finally, she becomes pregnant. Yehuda has no clue what happened. And he wants to have her killed. And then after he goes ahead and tries to have her killed, she sends a sign to show that he was the one that impregnated her. He was the one. So he says, Tzakimi Meni. Now what does Tzakimi Meni mean? So Tzakimi Meni, he says, source number 13, that she says, she did what she did, the Yira Shemayim, it's Ksava Kabbalah, not because she desired anything physically. She didn't go after a Bahar, she came after me, I was already older. Why should she go after Yehuda? She go after a younger fellow. He says, however, once she saw that she wasn't going to get Shayla, so then she wanted to do the mitzvah. She was actually doing it for the right reasons. And Rashi says, why did she do that? Because she had this vision. She had this idea. She had this idea that she was supposed to have children from Yehuda's family. So she followed through. She did not give up. And Yehuda said, Tzakimi Meni. And all of a sudden, that Tzakimi Meni, there's no question, was a life-changing event. Now, if you look at the Chizkuni, we said, when Yehuda suggested, let's not kill Yosef, so he said, it sounds like Yehuda was being very nice. But you look at the Chizkuni, Chizkuni says something amazing. Why did Yehuda not want to kill Yosef? He was very angry at Yehuda. Because he says, if we kill Yosef, so what's going to happen? He says, if we kill Yosef, so you know what? It's not a revenge against him. You know why? Because he says that at the point we don't go ahead and kill Yosef, he says, everyone's forgotten, right? But he says, and we want to remember Yosef. We want to have this feeling of anger in our hearts again the rest of our lives. We should sell him, so this way we won't have to go ahead and forget about him. We want to keep that anger. They wanted to hold that anger. So we see, Yehuda did not act so properly in regard to the sale of Yosef. So what does Tzakimi Meni mean? So this Tzakimi Meni, that was a life-changing event. What does Tzakimi Meni mean? What does it mean, Tzakimi Meni? So if you look, the various enforcement deal with that. Seichel Tov says that she did it l'shem shemayim, and I did it b'dvar iser. You know, I did something else, so she was doing it for the right reasons. Rashi says her words were better than my words. However, I think that the real pshat, what's Tzakimi Meni mean? And it's very dramatic. If you look at source number 16. Source number 16 is the Sefer Kikara V'lecha, member of Maidan, Rashi V'Alon Shvut, for 6 years. And he says like this, Hatshuva, what he wants to think is that what happened to Yehuda? Yehuda gave up. He gave up Yehuda. After all, his brothers distanced themselves, and we see he goes and marries a Canaanite, and we see that he married his kids off to what happened to his kids, and he just gave up. He says, the brothers, when they saw the great mourning of Yaakov Avinu, they just knew what happened. He says, and didn't know how to fix it. And who did they say was guilty? It was Yehuda. He says, he was the leader. He was the one who had the idea of the sale. He says, Yehuda was not able to deal with his sin anymore. And what did he do? He ran away. Disconnected from the family, went to a different world. He sort of left the Mesorah of the fathers. He married a Kanani, which is a red line. Just like Yishmael and Esav. What? Walked the Derech. Right, walked the Derech. So what happened? So what happened is like this. And I think talk to many. You see, Tamar, as we said, for some reason, she went ahead and she thought, I got to marry into this family. We don't know what it is they have in their mind to have to marry into this family. I want to tell a story, okay? I'll tell a story about, I don't know all the details of the story, okay? But, you know, I asked my my mother once. I said, how did you meet Abba? How did you meet my father, all right? Because my father was a Yosef Al Sfarim. He sat and learned the whole day. So he said it was very simple. We were invited to a wedding, and in those days they had mixed seating. We sat at the same table. And my father was a very polite person, and we spoke. And she said, the story goes like this. I used to go ahead and make sure that I would find out he was teaching MTJ then. I would find out when he would leave MTJ. And I would happen to meet him as leaving MTJ. And he knew my father was going to NYU. So I would ask my I would ask him to get me a book from NYU, and a conversation would start. Okay? And then I guess my father caught on, right? And he did the same thing. Okay, and this went on for a year until they got engaged. But my mother saw my father initially, and my mother decided, I am going to go ahead and I'm going to marry him. So what happened? She had this idea in her mind. So Yehud, Tamar, whatever was going on, she knew she had to be involved in the family of Yehuda. And she wasn't going to give up. And that's what Rashi says in Source number 13. She saw that she was future to have sons, and therefore she said, I'm not giving up, I know it's going to happen. So all of a sudden, Yehuda saw this, and you know, he was about to have Tamar killed. I guess it was very bad for where he was holding. And he says, she sends him the signs that he was the one that impregnated her. And he says, oh my gosh. In that moment, he saw the whole story. He finally understood what was going on. Like he says, what was going on with her? Like, what did she do that for? He realized she wanted her children from the family. And therefore she went to the biggest effort to have it done. She would not give up. And she says, sucking in many, she says, she was better than me. What do you mean better than me? Did one action? No. She went ahead and she never gave up. She went ahead and she said, I'm going to keep going. And therefore I have to learn from her. And at that moment, that was Yehuda's life-changing moment. And now if we go back and we look, what happened? What did Reuven say to Yaakov Avinu? Who said to Yaakov Avinu, listen, I'm going to drive Binyamin back. And by the way, if I bring Binyamin back, don't bring him back. Don't worry. I'll give you my two sons. They can die. That's what he said. What, are you stupid? You're going to die? That's going to help me? You know what that means to me? It means something like this. I once saw, many years ago, I gave a shiur on Chagadja. I went through various reports. I forgot who says this. But Chagadja, according to one shot, is really a story about the neshama. And you know, a lot of people think that someone might think that when, you know, that okay, I can sin, but you know what? So I'll get punished, right? If I get punished, it will be good. He says, no. Person thinks that way, there might never be a reprieve from the punishment you deserve. So Yehuda says, I'll try to bring you on back. If I don't, get my two sons, then that's it, done, I'll feel guilty. Yaakov said, no way. That's not, I want someone who's going to say, no matter what, I'm bringing Binyamin back. What does Yehuda say? Yehuda doesn't say that anything's going to happen to me. He says, it will be like I sinned to you. In other words, it means I will never have gotten over the fact that I didn't return Binyamin to you. I will carry this guilt with me the rest of my life and as Olam Haba. Which means that I will never get over it, and therefore if I never get over it, I'm going to try my hardest to bring Binyamin back. Why? Because Yehuda learned not to give up. I'm telling you, I won't give up. Why don't I give up? Because I know that if I give up, I'm going to be taking this the rest of my life. There's nothing that will have me to make me feel better about it, because I will feel guilty my whole life, and I'll take it to Olam Haba. Yaakov said, you're never going to give up. And that's what we saw in Rabbi Yosef Bechor Shor. Emsur Nashiyallah, Bekol Tzitzku, D'Isli, L'Mevad. Anything I can do, I'll do. I'll never give up. That's what happened to Yehuda. He never gave up. That's the idea. I want to just tell you a story. Okay, I'm very proud of the story. The story actually happened to my father. It had nothing to do with me. The only reason why I'm proud of this is because I made this story famous. Okay, I'm the first one, I think, to have told this story in public. I told over my father, Shloshim. It was actually a mazel that I heard about the story. And it's in one of the books now. And it's always fascinating to see how a story evolves. Okay, because I remember how I told the story originally. And obviously someone else gave over the details, wrong, broken telephone, and the story evolves. How did I find the story? I was once visiting my parents after I got married. And I guess I wanted to see my parents made out of their wedding, my mother made out of the wedding film, a video. They put in the, remember the VCRs of the old days, right? The VCRs. So I decided I wanted to see it, see all the dolls that were there. And then I found two or three other videos in the house. I put one in. And one was actually an interview my father gave for MCSY. I don't know why nobody has it. So I listened to the video. And in the video, my father told the story. And the story goes like this. That my father was a young boy. So his father was not well. And the doctor said that his father, my grandfather, Rav Moshe, has to go to a resort town in Europe. I think it was Ushtarov, I forgot what it was. And he has to go there for a few months. So the question is, who's going to go with take care of my grandfather? So everyone else was very busy. But my father was a young boy. He was 9, 10, 11 years old, 10 years old. All he did was learn anyways. He learned with my grandfather. So they were there over the Yom Tovim. And Yom Kippur night, he was sitting next to my grandfather in Shul. Now in the story, they say it happened to Rav Eliyahu Pershinger, but I know it happened to Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. All right. So if you see the story, he's sitting next to his father, and my father was a very passionate, I guess, child. He's a passionate adult also, so he's a very passionate child. And he was screaming out the whole davening, Yom Kippur night, Kol Nidre, everything, right? And he gets to Shema Koleinu. Okay? And Shema Koleinu, the Chazan says, Shema Koleinu, I'm not going to sing, then the Sukkot Nosek, and my father goes, Shema Koleinu. And he says, then Yashashivein Alech and Hashuv, and the father screams it out. And then, they get to Al Tashichein Alei Zikna, don't throw me away in my old age, Kichlos Kocheinu, my strength webs away, don't forsake me. So, at that point, my grandfather noticed that my father did not go ahead and move his lips. Okay. After davening, my grandfather turns to my father and says, Arale, he called him Arale, he says, tell me, the whole davening you screamed out, and Al Tashchein Alei Zikna, you didn't even say. My father says, I'm 10 years old. I have to worry about my old age? Like, you know, I have a lot of things to worry about until I get there. So my grandfather told him, no, you don't understand pshat. My grandfather gave him a real brisker answer. There are two types of old age, okay? There's actual old age, okay? What does actual old age mean? Okay, so you know, when I first said the story, I might have used a different, age, but you know, okay, actual old age, somewhere in your 90s, okay? High 90s, actual old age, all right? So he says, that's actual old age. But then there's something called emotional old age. Emotional old age when you don't want to try anymore, you want to give up. It's hard to get up, it's hard to do it. He says, we say a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Al Tashchein Alei Zikna, right? When I feel emotionally old, don't forsake me. Give me the koach to go ahead. And give me the koach to go ahead. And to be able to do everything that I'm supposed to do. That's not giving up. That's the midah that Yehuda picked up from Tamar. Sotam imeni. Tamar did not give up. She had something in her mind. She wanted to accomplish something. And Tamar went for it. She did it all. Why? Because Tamar understood, you know, that if you have something, you have to keep going. And Yehuda, when he heard that, he said, Sotam imeni. I can't give up. And I think that maybe we'll talk more about this. That's why he said to Yaakov, send Binyamin. I learned. I'm not going to give up. I'll do whatever I have to do. And that's why he was Zochet Malchus. Why was he Zochet Malchus? Because he admitted. What do you mean? He didn't admit he was wrong. Admitting you're wrong is not a big deal. Take it from me. Okay? But admitting you're wrong and changing who you are, changing your personality, changing your character trait, that's not simple. That's not simple. But it wasn't just admitted he was wrong. He admitted he was wrong, and it actually changed what he did. He had a whole different perspective. And who can be a melech? A melech is only somebody who never gives up. You know, it's interesting. In this week's parasha, so Yaakov Avinu says, source number 17, Lo yasser shev mi Yehuda v'chok ben raglav akia v'shilo lo yikatamin. And that means, everyone says, that Yehuda will get the melucha, it will never leave them, until Shiloh comes. And the whole discussion is what is the idea of Shiloh? Shiloh, which Nachla was Shiloh? Which Nachla was Shiloh? Who's Nachla was Shiloh? Yosef, right? Right? So he says, if you look at source number 18, he says that what is Yavo Shiloh? It doesn't mean until Shiloh comes. It means till Shiloh sets. Until the Korban Shiloh. So he says, so at that point, that's when it's gonna happen. That's when Yehuda will have it. However, and if you look at Ibn Ezra says it can't mean that he'll have the melucha until Shiloh, until some point. Because that's not a bracha. A bracha is that you're getting something and you'll always have it. That's what Ibn Ezra says. However, the Shabbat Maran, the Shabbat says no. Do you know what it means? Yoshev Yehuda Givar Shiloh. It means that there'll be the Malucha. David will have the Malucha. Shlomo will have the Malucha. And then at Shiloh, they'll lose the Malucha. What happened at Shiloh? At Shiloh was the place where they went to the Rechavim decided to Mechadish to Malucha in his day after Shlomo died. And what happened in Shiloh? What happened then? The 10th tribe split off. So the Rishbam says, no, it's a bracha. But the bracha is going to be that only for a certain amount of time, and then it will be renewed in the days of Mashiach ben David. However, you could suggest pshat, and Rav Medan says, it's not on the page of Kevar Lecha, that what does Yabba Shiloh come means? That may, remember, Yaakov Avinu, it says, the future was hidden from him. And maybe Yaakov Avinu, I'm not necessarily saying this is definitely what happened, but it's possible. Maybe Yaakov Avinu, yes, he says, Yehuda's going to be a melech, but it's not going to last forever. Ad Yabo Shiloh. Until Shiloh comes where it's going to be in the hands of Yosef. Rashi points out that Yaakov, at the point of giving a bracha, certain things were hidden from him. And if you look in Source 21, Tilim Parpa Ayin Ches, the Pesukim seem to imply that really the Malucha could have stayed with Yosef. Because the Pasuk says, Vayimas Ba'ol Yosef, Hashem was disappointed in the tent of Yosef, B'Sheir Rafalim Al-Bachar. And then he chose Shevi Yehuda, and he chose Har Tzion. So, you know, things could have been different. Maybe. But what happened? Somebody didn't give up. Because to be a melech, it's so important not to give up. It's always important to give up. You know, there's a Masechah Sota. So, Mara asked the question, why is it that the Yehuda was Zocha to so many things, the Beis HaMikdash and everything? So, Mara Masechah Sota, Zalmat Zayim and Aleph, tells the story. So he says, when the Jewish people got to the Yamsuf, it was a big machlokas, a big argument going on. Obviously, you have Jews together, what happens? It's always an argument. It's not so simple, right? It's always an argument. They tell the story about a certain shul where the Rav retired, and before they had a new Rav, and he wasn't well, so something happened. It was a question in the shul, what to do? He said, Avarachim, not the Avarachim. And they're all arguing and fighting, this and that. And finally, after davening, so I went to visit the Rav, and he told him what happened. He said to the Rav, what's the minhag in the shul? He says, what did you do? This guy said to say it. This guy said not to say it. That's the minhag in the shul. Jews love to fight. Okay? Say that to God for the Yam Suf. That's what they're doing. So he says, what happens? One Shevet said, I'll go first in the Yam. One Shevet said, I'll go first in the Yam. Who went in first to the Yam? Masha and Nadav. Right? That was it. Done. He didn't wait around. He wanted to do it, and he did. And it's fascinating, actually, that Gemara tells us, what was Moshe doing? Moshe was davening. Because Moshe says to Moshe, what are you davening for? Now's not the time to daven. What means not the time to daven? The mitzvahs are in back of us. The yams in front of us. Shouldn't daven? So, yes, you should daven. But sometimes we daven when we give up. And it's time to daven, but to move forward to do something. Okay? And that was Yehuda. And therefore the Gemara says, L'fichach zacha Yehuda l'afzol of Yisrael. Hashem says to Moshe, you don't daven. You do something. You don't give up. You don't think, okay, you daven to Hashem when you're not giving up. You can daven, but move on. And that's why Yehuda got the royalty. Because Yehuda didn't go ahead and give up. And if you think about it, and I'll point it out, Yehuda defined and exhibited this idea of not giving up. In the Sfas Emes in Source 24, there are two Sfas Emes. So what are these two Sfas Emes? It says that Yehuda prepared a derech for all the Bnei Yisrael. And he was called Yehuda, and we're called Yehuda for him. And why we called Yehudim, the Sfas Emes says, because Yehuda admitted to the truth, right? And through Yehuda's midah, we're able to go ahead and to admit to the truth. And what's the truth? That's real emunah. So he says, because Yehuda admitted to the truth, so even when he was low down, he was able to move up. Even when you feel you're downtrodden, you're beaten, you're not giving up, that's the truth, you're able to go ahead, and you're able to not give up. Yosef was always great. He was able to pick himself up. He didn't really feel so downtrodden. But Yehuda felt downtrodden, but Yehuda never gave up. And that's why we're called Yehuda. Mordechai Yehudi, even according to Chazal, that the decree was already sealed. But since it was sealed and plastered against the Jewish people, Mordechai did not give up. He's called Yehudi. I'm going to save the Jews. He's called Yehudi. Now, the second Sfas Emes says, Kara Ravatz. So the Sfas Emes quotes his grandfather, the Chedush Yerim, that even though Yosef was a tzaddik, and was the Urzalu a tzaddik, however, Yehuda,
He was the leader. Why? Because Yehuda was a Yishraelite. He was a Yashar. And a Yashar is better than a Tzaddik. What does it mean that a Yashar is better than a Tzaddik? Because Yehuda, of all his koach, was able to overcome everyone who fell and cause them to go straight. And that's the why it says Kara Rabatz. It says in the parasha he was able to bend down and he was crouching, but he was able to get up and be a Gibor because Yehuda was a Yashar. So what does it mean to be Yashar? Why is that a Yashar? So the Gemara that Sevasem has quoted is the Gemara Meseches Tainas of Tesvav Min Aleph. And I'll conclude with this Gemara. Gemara says, Amar Nachem Bar Yitzchak, Af Ani Omer, Lo HaKol La'Ola, not everyone is Zocha to the great divine light, Lo HaKol La'Simcha, and not everyone is Zocha to divine happiness. Tzadikim like Yosef, they get Ora, they get light. Yesharim, those who are straight, Yesharim, they get Simcha. Tzadikim La'Ola, how do we know Tzadikim get light? Dechsiv Or Zerul HaTzadik. Will Yesharim Simcha, and how do we know Yesharim, those straight get Simcha? Dechsiv Will Yishrei Leiv Simcha. Those who are Yashar, they have, you see, those are Yashar in heart, they have Simcha. So what does it mean? What's a Yashar? So Rashi points out, he says, so Rashi goes ahead, he says, Yisharim, those who are straight, they are better than the Tzaddikim. So what does that mean? They have Simcha better than the Tzaddikim. So the question we have to ask ourselves, what does Simcha really mean? What does happiness mean? It's a big problem. People today are looking to be happy. Everyone's looking to be happy. My father used to say, and certainly today there's much more money, he says, there's so much money spent on the entertainment industry. I don't know if it's still the leading industry in the world, but back at one time it was a leading industry. Everyone wants to be happy. So today it's much easier to be happy because you can be happy at home, right? You put it on your machine. But he said, it's funny. There was so much money spent on being happy, and you know what? Very few people are happy. Why? Because they understand what happiness is. People think that happiness is a diversion. Let's divert yourself. Let's think something for a second. Let's go off somewhere. What's happiness? So, the Rambam, in Hilchos Yom Tov, he points out that in Yom Tov there is a halacha that you have to go ahead and be mesameach. How mesameach? You have good meals. You spend time with the family. And we try to have certain food that, you know, you wouldn't have the rest of the year. And that's simcha. So the Rambam says that a person who has the best food and the best wine and he closes the doors and doesn't allow anyone to come in, no poor people, doesn't do chesed, that's not simcha. That's simcha's kreiso. You're making your stomach feel good. What's simcha? There's no greater simcha than l'sameach leivum lolim, to go ahead and to make the downtrodden and help the chowchana feel happy. There's no greater simcha than that. So what's the idea behind that? This is true simcha. It's feeling when you can go ahead and accomplish something. That's true simcha. The true simcha is when you go ahead and you feel you accomplish. No, whatever. A person is zocha to marry off children, to see simchas. A person goes ahead and gets, you know, and gets a degree. They work very hard. If you see how many students, you know, they basically during their high school years they blow it off and, you know, they just pass by the skin of their teeth, and then they go to university and they get a bachelor's and they get a master's, and really it's an accomplishment. Learning Torah is an accomplishment. Working in our mitzvos is an accomplishment. That's true simcha, when you feel like you accomplish. See, Yehuda was a yashar. Why? Because Yehuda, yes, he had something which he had to accomplish. It was very difficult for Yehuda. Where he was, in a certain sense, he was distanced from the family. He felt he had gone so far. He crossed red lines. And because of that, Yehuda was Kara Rabatz. He crouched down. He was able to get up like a lion. He felt the simcha of accomplishing, of not giving up. That was a true simcha. And that's what the Sfas Emes is pointing out. He says that even though Yosef Betzadik, or Shul Betzadik, is not going to light, but Yehuda was Gavra Ba'achiv, and he's Yishrei Leiv. And what does that mean? He was able to bring all the other people up, because he understood what Simcha is, what true accomplishment was. When he went ahead and he saw, he learned from Tamar, at that moment he was able to move on, and he was able to accomplish and go back where he was, and in the end, become a leader. And that was his first Bas Emes also. Now, Toyaducha Achicha, why? Because your brothers will go ahead and admit to you, because you taught them how to pick yourself up. And how do you pick yourself up? We need a lot of help to pick yourself up. But the one thing we need to pick ourselves up in is never, ever, never, ever to give up. To say, I can do it, I can accomplish it. I remember, I'll just finish off with this. When my oldest son was, I don't know, probably a year old, I forgot already. We're visiting my parents, and he was at that stage where he was learning to walk. So when a child learns to walk, how do they learn to walk? What happens? What happens? They walk two steps, they fall down, they pick walk again. Now my father already had the stroke. My father was sitting in the dining room, and he was watching my son Moshe Yisrael, and he was watching. My father was learning, but he picks up his head. He was watching him. Like I was watching him. So I was watching him because I thought it was cute. I'm watching my son learn to walk. My father says, "That's amazing." He says, "Look at that. He falls down, he picks himself up. He falls down, picks himself up. Falls down, goes up." He says, "He's going to learn to walk." He says, "I'll never learn to walk again like that. Because I have the impact, the fear of falling, which as we get is a little bit older, and also because it's a lot harder to heal once you're at that age." But he says, "What a wonderful, what," he stopped to tell me, "what a wonderful be this, that you're never afraid, you don't give up, you keep trying." Why is it that Yehuda was Zoha Tamalchus? Because the most important need that to be a king and to be a Jew is never to give up. The Jewish people, they're a resilient nation, they never give up. I think Yavetz tells a story, a beautiful story, that after the, during the Spanish Inquisition, when Jews were exiled, you know the story? They hired people to boats to take them to other countries, and some of the captains of the boats would take all the money and just drop them off somewhere. There was once a family, say, obviously, by the way, I'm not even sure the story is true. It's alleged, but the story is true. A family of a father, a mother, two children, and they're dropped off somewhere, no choice. The captain throws them off the ship, and they're walking, you know, looking for a city, and they're exposed to all the elements. It's cold, it's raining, probably colder than here. And Rahman al-Islam, the mother gets pneumonia, or gets sick, and she passes away. And the father and the two boys bury her on the spot, and they move on. And then, going further, and the boys were a little bit were younger, and the same thing. The boys, unfortunately, get sick, and they pass away. I'm sure the story did happen. And there the father has to bury his two sons by himself. And after he finishes, he looks up and he says, "HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you took away my country, my house, my money, my children, my wife. You want me to give up, but I'm not going to give up. I'm still going to Mekadosh Shem Shamayim." So it's not just the midah of a melech, which Yehuda had, because a leader can never give up. If a leader gives up, the country's in trouble. But it's the midah of every Jew, and that's what we call Yehudim. We have to know what we're supposed to accomplish, what we're destined to accomplish, and we can't give up. And that's why all the brothers, I'll tell you, Ducha, Chicha, your brothers admit to you, Yehuda, because you inspired them, which he learned from, I guess, Tamar. Never to give up, a Jew never gives up.